from Anshe Spar Bethel Emeth Congregation, it's time to take 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to our discussion of Parshat Lech Lecha, the nature of the Bris Milah, of the covenant, the circumcision, which Jewish boys enter at the eighth day. The nature of the mitzvah of Milah can be looked at in different ways. Is it the Maisa mitzvah? Is it the act of giving the baby a bris, that one-time thing? Is that the mitzvah? Or is it the totsah? Is it the result? We want the baby to be mahul. Similarly, we can ask, is it to remove the disgrace of being an arel, an uncircumcised one? As we know, David was very taken aback by the fact that someone was defaming God, namely Goliath, was defaming God, even though he was an arel. He was someone who's uncircumcised. So is it to remove that status, or is it to create a new status of someone who is mahul, who is circumcised? The Gemara in Nedarim 31b says that me'usa yarla. It says both. It says, number one, that it's disgusting before God, morally despicable, to have the orla, to have that foreskin. And the Gemara also says, Gedola yamila shenichzara ala yugim obrisos. How wonderful the bris is, because 13 times in our parsha, it says that a covenant was made, a bris was made with this mitzvah. So it's both. It's both to remove this despicable thing, and also to consecrate the Jewish people with this oath, this sign. The Beis Halevi, one of the ancestors of Rabbi Salvechik, he said that that's why there are two parts of the Milah. There are two different acts within the Milah. They reflect these two themes, one to remove and one to create a new status. The Gemara Menachos can be brought as a proof to one side or another of this question. Is it an act or a status? Because it says that King David, it's for page 43b, King David was very perplexed. He said, you know, usually I walk around, I have talis, I have tefillin, I have Torah. But when I go to a bathhouse, I have nothing. No talis, no tefillin, no Torah, no mezuzah. So he said, and he saw his bris milah. He said, at least I have the bris milah. Now, if you think that bris is an act that takes place on the eighth day of a baby's life, so what was he looking at? It was already done. However, if you say that the bris is a continued status, and we understand, he continued to sort of get the mitzvah, the fulfillment of the mitzvah, by continuing to be mahul, to be circumcised, and that is a mitzvah. He was happy about that. Then you can ask another question. The Gemara in Kedushin talks about, well, how do you know that a woman can't give a bris to a child? So they have various verses that say that a woman cannot give a bris. Some people think they can. They can. Generally, we don't. But why are we talking about all these things? Why don't we just say that she's not, it's not it's a time-related mitzvah. All time-related mitzvahs, women are exempt. It's a mitzvah, say, shazman grama. It's a positive commandment that it's time-related. It has to be done during the day. A bris that's done at night doesn't count. And it has to be done on the eighth day, if you can. So why do they ask that question? The answer is that it's true that the act of the bris is done during the day. But the fulfillment is forever, day and night, 24-7. And the obligation to go out and make sure that every Jewish child has it is also a 24-hour, 24/7 obligation, not only on the father, but on the entire community. Rav Asher Weiss says that this is also very similar to the famous idea of the relationship between the Maisa Mitzvah, the deed, and the Kiyumah, its fulfillment. The deed is done on the eighth day, it's the circumcision. And the fulfillment is a lifeline, lifetime fulfillment. The Tzora Moore is a commentator on the Torah, lived in Spain, lived in Portugal, North Africa, and he said that that it says the bris shall be. There is an idea of the bris, the status of a bris, which continues. Also, the idea that you're zrizim makdim, you try to do the bris early in the morning, just like Avraham, that shows it's a positive mitzvah. It's not just a removal of the foreskin of something negative. It's a positive kind of thing. That's also a good proof. Now we have a question. The question is, Avraham, there's a tradition that Avraham kept the whole Torah, even Eruv Tefillin, even rabbinic mitzvahs. So why did God come to him and say, hey, have a bris? Avraham should have kept it anyway, because he should have intuited all the Torah, including the bris. So there are various answers. One answer is, Marsha says that idea that Avraham kept all the mitzvahs, that's before he got a bris. That's after he got a bris. Once he got a bris, then he knew he had to keep the mitzvahs. But before that, he would not keep all the mitzvahs. Second answer is that he wanted to be mitzvah of Yosef. He wanted to get the mitzvah as someone who was commanded to get the mitzvah. He didn't want to do it, and then it'll be over. And then he could never do it as a commanded person. The Panim Yafos, one of the commentators, says, he says he didn't want to violate Chabura. He didn't want to give himself a wound. If you don't have a mitzvah and you do the bris, you could be giving yourself a wound. And all those critics, that whenever I post a video about bris, I always get the critics who are anti-circumcisers. Firstly, leave me alone. I have my religion, and it says so in our Bible. We believe that God said we should have a bris, so just please leave me alone. But secondly, we agree with them that if you're a non-Jew, you want to get a bris, could be a problem of chavala, of giving yourself a wound. Now, Rav Asher Weiss points out that, of course, he couldn't do it before, because until he was commanded, he was a goy. And when you're a goy, you can't give a bris. So once he was commanded, then it was his mitzvah, then he could give himself a bris. He's not a goy anymore. He's not a Gentile. Finally, another answer we could give, actually a fifth answer, is that if had he done the bris before, it wouldn't be a bris. Be a mitzvah. You can do a mitzvah sometimes. You can volunteer to do a mitzvah. Avraham kept Shabbos. God didn't tell him to keep Shabbos. He kept Shabbos. It's okay. He volunteered to do the mitzvah. But if he volunteers to do this, he'll get the mitzvah. You know what he won't get? The bris. See, the bris is the covenant. If he did it on his own, that's not entering the covenant. The covenant is only entered when God initiates it, because covenant is a two-way street. Unless there's a second party who says, I want to be part of this covenant, it's not a covenant. So had Avraham given himself a bris, it wouldn't be a bris, it would be a mitzvah, perhaps, but not a bris. Finally, there's another question. So then, if indeed we look at this question, you know, is it a mitzvah or is it a bris, we can explain, based on the idea that it's not a plain mitzvah, but it's actually a covenant, we can explain a number of things. Number one, if the baby is nolad mahul, the baby is born without a foreskin and with fully circumcised. So then, if it's a bris, you still have to draw a drop of blood because you have to make the bris. It's not enough that the result is there. If you just want the result, you shouldn't need any blood at all. Let's say a goy wants to do a bris. So, firstly, he can't get the bris part of it. He only gets the mitzvah part of it. Well, let's say someone never got a bris. Can he give a bris to someone else? So the Talmud says, no, only those who have a bris can give a bris. Why? Because if it's just a mitzvah, all right, any Jew, heck, can I blow the shofar for somebody even though I don't want to fulfill the mitzvah of the shofar? So I have in mind not to fulfill the mitzvah. I don't want to get the mitzvah. Can I blow the shofar for you, of course? I suppose. But here, you can't enter someone into a covenant if you're not part of the covenant. Also, that explains why we stand for the bris, because if you're making a covenant, you should stand. And finally, why are there two brachos for this mitzvah? Usually make one bracha, Shekhishanam Sotavit Sivanu, commanded us in his commandments. Why do we also say, Lachtiso Riso Shalom Ravino? Because there's two elements. So I'm doing a mitzvah, Shekhishanam Sotav, the usual bracha. And then I'm entering a bris. I say a second bracha to fulfill that kind of idea. So, the mitzvah of Mila is unusual in that it's memushach. It continues. You do it once, it's true, and yet it continues forever. Secondly, it's different Because it's not just a mitzvah, but it's also a bris. It's also a part of a covenant. See, the only other mitzvah I can think of offhand that's similar to this would be Shabbos. It's not only Shabbos, not only a mitzvah, but it's also a fulfillment of the covenant. Thank you for joining us here at the Anshei Sefarad Beth El Em, the congregation, for our discussion of Parsha and the holidays. And thanks to Jason Lefkowitz, our producer. Thank you.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein. To learn more, visit asby.org.